Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It is Loud and Local right here on 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. I have a band called Panic Grass. Welcome.
Yes.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
You.
Panic Grass, is that marijuana?
Hell, we wouldn't dream of it.
I might dream of it a little bit. We are trying to come up with a new band name because Nick, myself, my name's John, and Brad, we were We Buy Gold for a really long time, and we kind of wanted to leave that behind us and do something new and do something different, and we had been throwing around a bunch of different ideas for band names, and we had narrowed it down to a couple of them, and one of them wound up being our EP's album name, and the other one wound up being the band name.
Cool.
But you know where that comes from, right, Nick?
Well, yeah, and so we did want the name to have a kind of psychedelic vibe to it.
Yes.
And so we said Panic Grass sounds fun, and lo and behold, it was a euphemism for marijuana.
There we go.
But there is a plant called panic grass, and I don't really know what that's all about, but
fair enough.
That's where it came from.
All right, well, let's officially go around the room. Tell me what your name is and what you do in Panic Grass.
Hey, I'm John. I do singing, songwriting, bass, and Chapman Stick.
Wow, Chapman Stick, nice.
Yeah.
My name's Nick, and I do singing, songwriting, and I try to play the guitar.
I'm David. I sing and am working on the songwriting. I also play guitar and bass.
I'm Bert. Guitar, some vocals, some songwriting.
And we are missing one member.
We're missing Brad, who is on vacation again.
Where?
Well, they call him the Hurricane because you never know where he might land.
Okay. Sounds like a life I want to live.
Yeah,
you know, usually, you know what, we were joking about this a little bit on the way here, but it's usually to the coast, you know, very hurricane-like.
Yeah, no, okay. He could be anywhere.
And he's a drummer.
He's the drummer, yes.
Cool.
And, him and Nick had been playing music together for a long time before I ever met these guys, which is almost 10 years ago at this point. And, you know, we wanted to honor that, you know, old-timey music that we did 8, 9, 10 years ago, but we also wanted to, you know, grow and move on, and you know, Brad was instrumental and monumental in helping develop our sound, and you know, wish he was here today, but you know, that trip to Belize was sure sounding nice, so I get why he had to make it.
Oh, I thought it was Costa Rica
or no, Nicaragua.
Is this guy real? Are you guys making this guy up?
He's
really our drummer.
Okay.
He's there.
Okay.
We don't know if he's real, but
so this show is not sponsored by this following business I will mention, but I will thank this business for, you know, kind of prompting this interview. So there was one day I went to a breakfast at a place called Pancake Chef over in Tukwila, and You know, I think I'm wearing a Defy Wrestling hoodie, yep. And you're wearing a wrestling T-shirt or something, and yeah. We strike up a conversation about wrestling.
That's it.
And I think I had just played Panicgrass.
Right. Yeah. It was really funny. It was, I think, within a week of it happening. I think maybe the first time or whatever. Yeah. We were hungry. We had just kind of moved to the area. We wanted to go someplace new. Let's go to the Pancake Chef. They got a fancy German pancake there. Let's give it a shot. And, you know, you and your buddy stroll in, and I go, yeah, cool shirt. Yeah, cool hat. And then, you know, you mentioned, hey, have you ever heard of Defy Wrestling?
Defy Wrestling, yeah.
Man, have I ever heard of it? I won the costume contest back in the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was so cool to, connect and realize that, oh, wait, we do know each other.
Yep.
And you mentioned you host the Defy podcast. We subscribe to the podcast.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Hold on. It was, you know, it reminded me of that meme where Spider-Man's, like, pointing at another Spider-Man.
Yes.
I kind of had that moment with you.
And then, also, you have a radio background. Tell me about your radio background.
I do. So I got started in radio when I was 17 years old, broadcasting.
You're like, I don't want to make any money.
Yeah, man, it grew from a love of sharing music to friends.
Yeah.
And I wound up, you know, starting internet radio, and then I went to college for it in Illinois, and I had, you know, learned all my stuff through that, and I had my, you know, education in commercial radio. And I, you know, worked for a few places, but, you know, like you said, the money is kind of where it has to go. And I don't know how that led me out to Seattle, but it eventually did. And, you know, the rich radio history that's here in Seattle and the rich, you know, like local music history in Seattle kind of preceded my need and want to move out here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you ever listen to music, it's like, you know, who hasn't heard of, let's say, Sub Pop, for example, you know. So coming out here, it wasn't more so about the, oh, well, I can't wait to see what's going on and I'm going to be a famous radio guy or anything like that. It was more just, oh, the really cool musicians hang out here. They got really great radio stations. Oh, there's cool food. There's cool bars.
You want to live amongst it.
Yeah. Mm. You couldn't tell I'm a transplant. Someone who's maybe from here might be like, you know, a little less enthusiastic about it than I am.
But you're stoked. That's amazing. So, okay, so you come to Seattle, and how do you meet all these guys? How do you meet the rest of Panicgrass? Or had you guys been playing, you know, back in Illinois?
So I had been playing with lots of people in Illinois, whether I was
also
doing my own thing or, playing with myself in Illinois. sometimes I play with myself in Seattle, too.
Cool.
But I met Nick and Brad through Craigslist. We met at one of my favorite spots on California Ave in West Seattle, Shadowland. And it was one of the most Seattle-y things I had ever seen. I walk in, someone's doing trapeze, there's all this neon light everywhere. I meet these two cool-looking guys in a shady bar where they're drinking, like, really fancy stuff, and they put water on the table in the butt. It was so weird. Like, I had just gotten
here.
Why
they put water in the table? Wow, imagine how fancy.
That's as opposed to offer water for free.
Well, it's in, like, an artesian bottle, and I have to pour it myself? This must be fancy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we met it from there, and Nick, Brad, and I, we used to start this whole thing like at 2 a.m.
Wow.
We'd practice at 2 a.m. because that was when we were available. On like Wednesday nights, if all godforsaken nights. And that's how the original thing started. And, you know, you skip a few years and Nick and I meet Bert and David playing as part of a house band for a brewery.
Cool. Which brewery?
Sadly, we're closed now, but it was called the Best of Hands Barrel House in West Seattle.
Okay.
And we did an open mic there every 2 weeks, where it was not only an open mic, but an open jam. And the four of us, as well as a few other core members, would be there every week. We'd be happy to back up people. We learn new tunes for every show that we do. And Nick and I getting a chance to...
Was it covers or original?
Yes.
Okay, covers.
Lots of covers, but we'd get original singer-songwriters to come through.
Nice.
And they'd tell us the changes or bring us a chart, and we'd be able to play it with them.
That's awesome.
And, you know, being able to do that with Bert and David, Nick and I decided, man, this is kind of like a no-brainer. The music's kind of getting stale where we're at right now.
Yeah.
We want to do something new and make something that sounds a little bit different. Why don't we play with these cats who already know what they're doing, you know?
Well, in that point, too, John has had the Chapman stick for a long time, and we've always been like, we play like emo and hardcore and punk rock and stoner metal. Like, we can't do that with one guitar and a Chapman stick. And we meet these guys, and they're great. They're great people as well as great players. And
yeah.
So we're like, well, John wants to do more on stick. It might be fun if I could set the guitar down and just sing sometimes.
Yeah.
These guys both sing. They both play guitar. Burp plays a little trumpet.
Nick, they both write. Oh, my they God. Write.
Yeah. We're like, man, we should... King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard is a big influence for
John Let Me Know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, man, there's like 8 cats in that band who freaking write. Like, yeah. And there's only 2 of us because Brad has done a couple things once in a while, but he sticks to the kit, you know? So we're like, yeah, let's get some fresh blood in here and have a lot of fun. And from the experience of the open jam, we're like, well, let's see how that goes. So
let's pause this for 1 second. Explain to me, because I am familiar, but I just want to real quick explain what a Chapman stick is, because I am familiar with it. I have a friend who plays a band called Pound. He has like a 12-string guitar. He has all kinds of crazy music instruments. He has like a 2-neck guitar. Like, he has all kinds of stuff. So I'm familiar with a Chapman stick, but let's break it down.
Yeah, man. It's... it's something that you don't see so often these days, but it's been around since the late 60s. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a combination of a guitar, a bass, a piano, and a drum set all in one. It's anywhere between 8 to 12 strings. Mm-hmm. Half of them are bass strings, and half of them are melody or guitar strings.
Yeah.
And the intent is to play it with both hands tapping. It's like a tapping instrument.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen a lot of people, you know, a great example is like Eddie Van Halen playing Eruption, tapping on his guitar.
Yeah.
And the guy who invented the instrument, Emmett Chapman, who sadly recently died, rest in peace, came up with this two-handed tapping free hands technique, and it's been something that I have been exploring for about 10 years or so, and only really started getting serious about it playing with these guys.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun figuring out things that I can do to incorporate it into our band, or at times where, you know, Dave plays bass too, and he's a killer bass player. I can just do leads with the guitar players, and we could do cool 3-part harmonies, which is something that we couldn't do with just 3 dudes.
Are there any musicians I would know aside from, you know, Eddie Van Halen that you said that use the Chapman stick?
Man, the biggest one and my favorite bass player is, you know, we can say it at the same time, 3, 2, 1, Tony Levin,
okay,
who plays with King Crimson and Peter Gabriel and Stickmen, and he's also on the I Don't Wanna Wear, I Wanna Bang on My Drum All Day. He's a bass player on that song.
Okay.
He plays bass with Paul McCartney, like everybody. He's a legendary bass player, and Bert and I got a chance to go see him actually when he came through in the area a few weeks ago. And it
Where
was just
play?
He played at was it the Historic Everett Theater.
Yep.
Oh, awesome. That's cool.
And man, he was such a sweet guy to meet. He was so nice, and I got to, you know, kind of gush to him and say, man, I'm a Chapman stick player in a working rock band, and it's really cool that I finally get to meet you," and all this stuff. Probably stuff he's heard a million times before, but it's cool when you get an opportunity to meet your heroes.
He's like,
these
don't
days
quit your day job,
cool.
Kid.
Exactly. Exactly.
Go back to radio.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. That's okay. So from you guys, from playing, you know, in this house band with them, how do you guys like, you know, being a part of Pantograss? How's it been so far?
It's been cool. It's been a whole new kind of experience. I've been a cover player like most of my life. I've played in different bar bands, like, you know, playing outdoor, like bikers have a party and they want someone to play Pink Floyd covers,
sure,
and like all that sort of stuff. So learning other people's originals that have been recorded already is really cool. But even more fun, even more engaging, has been learning these songs that someone else wrote, but they don't exist yet.
Yeah.
So
being part of a creation.
Yeah, we're all incorporating kind of different things and seeing what works and what doesn't work, and you know, sort of how I can put my sort of musical spin, my sort of musical personality on what other people are, you know, building a framework in.
That's awesome.
Yeah, totally agree with a lot of that. And excuse me. kind of the combination of, you know, learning the stuff the guys have already written and trying to put my own kind of ingredients in that without changing it too much or overstepping, but also, you know, helping with some of the writing. And it's been cool. I mean, you know, in one of our mini configurations, we can do three guitars. And so that frees me up to not necessarily have to do traditional rhythm or lead thing. You know, one guitarist can just kind of make some noises,
yeah,
for example. It's been a lot of fun.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
To your point, Bert, one of my favorite things in one of our new tunes that we do is just David just plays a really long note on the guitar for as long as possible, and it's just long, and, you know, he uses a really cool Ebow for it. We're using a lot of toys these days, but, you know,
you guys need to lay off the pantographs.
It's so cool because when you only have a few people, you don't get the chance to mess around with weird guitar stuff.
Explore. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know. That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's go into one of the songs. We're talking a lot about the music. Let's hear some of the music. We're going to play a Water Diviner. And where can we find this? What album is this on?
This is on our latest. So we've got two EPs. This is from our latest one, which is called New Miserable Space Ritual.
Yeah.
And so a fun thing about
Can you pull that microphone up a little bit closer?
Oh, sure. Sorry.
Awesome.
So we recorded both EPs at the same time.
Yeah.
But we wanted very different sounds and very different songs on them. So the first EP we released is a lot leaning more to like heavy blues.
Sure.
It's a little stoner, not quite as stoner metal-y as, you know, say Uncle Acid or Sleep, sure, or something like that. But so then we were like, but we also want to showcase this other stuff that we love and do.
Yeah.
And so we recorded another EP, which is the New Miserable Space Ritual EP, and that's all more like kind of progressive metal, emo, power pop, and a little bit of that kind of like shoegazy, almost like Hum aesthetic to some of
Hell yeah. Love Hum.
So that's where you can find Water Diviner. It's an earlier song that we did with As We Buy Gold, and we decided we didn't care for the way it came out back then. And so we were like, well, let's re-record it and see what happens.
Repurposed and re-recorded. I like it. Water Diviner by Panicgrass. You're listening to Loud and Local here on 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. We'll be back with more from Panicgrass.
We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Water Diviner by Panic Grass here on Loud and Local, KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Panic Grass, a band that is perfect for the summer. You guys have the summer coming up. Are you guys going to be, you know, looking to play some shows?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. You know, not only is it like some of the most fun times to have shows, but I have that itch, you know, that summer itch to get out there.
Get that looking out, taken it, care of, dude. You should get that looked at.
Yeah, you know, it has to, you know, it's around the groin area. There's a cream. But, you know, the last show that we did was at Easy Street last summer.
That's awesome.
And it was so fun. We had a beer named after us, man.
Wow.
We had a Panic Grass beer with grass in it.
Yeah, there was lemongrass in that.
That's amazing.
And it was so fun because, you know, the doors were open. We got to have people walk by. And, you know, we're definitely looking to capture some more of that summertime energy. And, yeah, we're currently actually working on booking a few shows.
There's a lot of local bands that have gotten beers named after them. We had a Witch Ripper beer that's out now by Primitive Brewery. We have a Sandrider beer that's out by
Holy Mountain.
Paul Bearer, they're not from Seattle, but they just got a beer. We have there's a band called Beautiful Freaks that has an ice cream coming out. Black Tones had an ice cream coming out. It's all these amazing local businesses, you know, collabing with these cool bands. So that's really cool. That's awesome. All right, let's go around the room. What's the first band that you fell in love with as a kid, even if it's embarrassing? Mine was No Doubt. I will fully admit, I love Tragic Kingdom by No Doubt. It was the first band I ever fell in love with.
Man, that's a sick... sick album.
Every song on it is a single, dude. It's just like they toured on that album for like 8 years, dude. It's crazy. So
for me, the first bit of music that I ever fell in love with was Weird Al Yankovic's Bad Hair Day.
Yes, Amish Paradise.
Yeah. That was the thing that got me into
polka
music.
Yeah.
And I got to meet him, and I told him that you're the reason why like I do all of this, man. And he was so nice to me, even though I laid that heavy thing down on him. He said, thanks. And took my picture, you know.
That's amazing.
Took a picture with me.
Did he say it like that? Thanks.
Yeah, he said it in his very own kind of like Weird Al way, which totally made the experience all that much better.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. Better than saying like you're great. Why didn't you win an Oscar for UHF? You know.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I remember the most about that is he smelled great. Like he just got out of the shower.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like I wish I could bottle this smell. Amazing. And how about you, man? First band you ever fell in love with?
Do you guys remember that wild? I don't know if anybody else. I grew up in Western New York, so I don't know. But remember when BMG used to be like,
oh yeah, 10 CDs for 1 cent.
And so I had two brothers.
It's a great way to commit mail fraud.
Yes, and like nothing, you couldn't do anything at that.
Yeah,
so we used to just write in random names with the same address, and we'd get like all these records for a penny, and then you cancel the subscription, but you just do it again.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing.
It was incredible.
What'd you get?
Oh, so like the first haul, this is, I was thinking of that, and I was like, man, the first haul was just amazing. It was like Green Day, Dookie.
Yep.
It was like Super Unknown, Soundgarden.
Yep.
It was like Bush, you know, 16 stone. It was like
the starter pack.
All these wild things. And I remember, and of course, I think Dookie was probably like the preeminent thing for me when I was that young.
Great
and
album.
Like, fantastic. Yeah.
There you go. That's awesome, man. Right around that time, Offspring Smash comes out, Rancid, Out Come the Wolves.
Yes.
I mean, just freaking what an era. And how about you, man?
I was a Beach Boys kid.
Nice.
I remember I had this, you know, two CD greatest hits or best of whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And when I was however old I was, 7 or 8, whatever, I was all about like Surf and Safari, man. That was so fun.
Yeah.
I still love the Beach Boys. Now I like kind of the more...
Pet Sounds-ish.
Yeah, later, more complicated, like Brian Wilson showing off his... genius.
Yeah.
When he was on that Panic Grass.
Yeah, when he was on the Panic Grass or something.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, that was kind of my first love. That turned me on to pop music.
Yeah. Awesome. And how about you, man?
Yeah, I feel like I was kind of a late bloomer in my music taste. Like, I got into music from playing guitar, but nice. I really fell in love with Ozzy Osbourne's like solo work, like the first two albums, and you know, all the Zakk Wylde stuff too. I mean, Jakey Lee as well. So basically, like all of Ozzy's solo stuff. Growing up, my mom listened to a lot of music that actually kind of came into my influences later. Like we used to listen to a lot of Steely Dan, Earth, Wind and Fire, Stevie Wonder, and those are things that kind of circled back once I became kind of an experienced musician. So
yeah. Awesome. Okay, so this is a question I believe I asked you at the Pancake Chefs, but we want to get it on record just for anyone that is hearing the name King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. They have so much music.
Man,
where do we jump in? What's the best record? What's the one you would recommend for someone who's like, I've always seen this name, their discography's too, you know, big, I don't know where to start. Where do we start?
Are we all get to pick one?
Sure, why not? Can't you decide on one?
It's probably going to be vastly different.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Give me a starter pack.
Are you going to pick the...
You do you.
Okay. I think the best album to get your thang wet for King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard is Nonagon Infinity. Nonagon Infinity opens the door. It was the first King Giz album I heard. I have the Nonagon tattooed on my arm, man.
Yeah.
And it's a really trippy album that never ends. All the songs bleed into it, one by one by one. And the fact that each album kind of has like its own shtick or its own gimmick or its own idea really inspired us, you know. You just heard a little bit of one of our one sounds, and later you'll hear some of our other sounds too. And just the sounds on Nonagon Infinity vary too, and it's really cool.
Awesome. All right. What
so,
else?
And I'd say Nonagon's probably my favorite of their records, but I would say, like, for the first person who wants to jump in, I might go with Float Along, Fill Your Lungs, you know? Because it's got, well, the book ends of those that record is just these two amazing, like, 8-minute, like, prog jam songs. But then the rest of the record's this really nice, like, jangle pop. So it's really accessible, and you can just kind of be like, yeah, this is this works. And so, you know, it's kind of got the garage rock sound. It's kind of got the jangle pop. It's kind of a little more accessible. But but they do have a few tracks on there where you're like, oh, there's something else going on here.
Something else. Nice. I like it. You guys, do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, I mean... I came to King Gizzard pretty recently, and just through hanging out with John, like,
yeah.
He'd come over and we'd eat.
Whether you like it or not, he will throw it on you.
Dude, I made him go to the show.
He did.
I bought extra tickets and you're coming.
But no, John will come over, we'll eat pancakes and listen to records. And so he brought over Polygondwanaland, and I thought that was super cool, like super different.
Pancakes. I see a...
There's a theme here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pancakes and Gizzard Wizard. Okay. And how about you, man?
Yeah, I'm not super well-versed. I mean, I listened to them. I'm not super, you know, into the discography. I think when I first became aware of them was the Flying Microtonal Banana, and I like a few songs off that record.
Sick.
I was hoping for an awkward moment where one of you guys were like, I actually hate them. They're actually my least favorite band.
I think Brad hates them.
Yeah.
No, Brad's favorite, I think, is Fishing for Fishies, actually. He loves that album. And, you know, anytime we'd go see him, hey, do they play anything off of Fishing for Fishies? Why don't you come next time? Quit going to Belize, man.
Nice. All right. Well, let's go into another song. This one's New Miserable Space Ritual. Anything you guys want to say to introduce this one?
Heavily inspired by the band Hum.
Awesome.
At the university that I went to, I actually got to study under Matt Talbot of Hum.
Wow.
So a little bit of my songwriting and production know-how comes from the dude himself.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most humbling experiences that, you know, I could ever say in my history of learning music is to have the dude show me a thing or two.
That 2020 album that Hum put out just came out of nowhere, and it just – one of my favorites of that year. That's incredible.
One of the – finest records ever, I think.
So good, so good. Totally unexpected, totally amazing, and got me through the pandemic those first few months. I would go on long, meandering walks with nowhere to go, no job to have, and it was a good album to listen to on those days. So it's New Miserable Space Ritual, rather. Panic Grass is the name of the band. We'll be back with more from them, but it's New Miserable Space Ritual here on The Rock. New Miserable Space Ritual by Pantagruel here on Loud and Local. It's 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. So New Miserable Space Ritual, you wanted to mention something about the title.
Well, yeah, so we've been talking about just kind of having a lot of different influences between ourselves and then now with Bert and David joining and wanting to incorporate some maybe different sounds and different writing styles. And we've mentioned King Gizzard. And some other artists that we're really fond of are like Peter Gabriel and Beck, people who just, and Prince, people who just switch things up all the time, but still have kind of like their artistic vision and voice. And so the name New Miserable Space Ritual was just a funny combination of a Hawkwind record and a Gin Blossoms record.
Yeah. New Miserable Experience by Gin Blossoms, yeah.
See, you're well-versed, too.
Yeah. And so we were like...
I work in radio.
Yeah. We're like, hey...
I definitely heard Hey Jealousy.
You've logged on before. Okay, yeah. I see.
And we just wanted something that kind of represented the idea of showing off a bunch of fun, different styles yeah. that we like. And coming off of Sewage Fruit, which was our first EP, we're like, hey, this is different. We're going to signal that it's different.
That's awesome. There's a lot of people who listen to this show, people that book, you know, people that are tapped into the local scene and are always looking for artists. Are you guys looking to, you know, play some shows if people were to contact you guys?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Right on.
We are ready to rock. We
have
can't
band
wait.
Will travel.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes. We're working on a killer set list that not only includes, you know, what we might want to call classics all the way back from 2022.
okay. What's on your rider? What's the thing? You know, what is it like a Capri Sun? You know, you want like only yellow M&Ms? What's on your rider?
Do you remember those like plastic squeezable kind of like Kool-Aid guys that had like the characters
oh,
on them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'd like a couple of those if you can get my hand.
Maybe some Dunkaroos.
Yeah. Dunkaroos, Gushers.
Sounds good.
Otter Pops.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm hookers and blow, but...
Oh, there we go.
A traditional, okay.
we can
want
get that
like candy
done.
And ice cream. And
so you're playing on Aurora. Nice. okay, right on. Well, so what's the best way to, if people can't, you know, if you guys have shows coming up but people can't come out, whether they have, you know, day job, night job, they got, you know, kids to take care of, they can't go see you get live. What's the best way to follow you guys and support you guys, you know, as far as like listening to your music and following you guys on the interwebs?
Well, I'm sure most people know about Bandcamp Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Bandcamp waives their fee and it goes all to the band. So that would be wonderful if you wanted to go up there and, you know, it's pretty cheap. I think it's $7 to buy an EP of ours. So, of course, you can give more if that's how you're feeling. But, you know, that's a lot of – that's cool for us because it was, we were talking on the way here. It's like, hey, we should probably, you know, get some merch going and maybe press some records, yeah. You know, that type of thing. So
cool. And, you know, we're on Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome.
You look for us at Pantagruel, but – our contact info is on our Bandcamp, as well as you can get through social media. That way you can chat with us there. Our email address is on our Bandcamp. If you want to communicate with email, we're cool with that too.
Mm-hmm. Get in those DMs right off.
Yeah, please.
Favorite love Northwest band of all time, guys. What's your favorite Northwest band of all time? John, let's start with you.
My favorite Northwest band of all time is The Fall of Troy.
Awesome.
Muckle
T.O. Boys.
The Muckle T.O. Trio, baby. Man, when they got back together and did the show here, what was it, 2016, 17, when they got back together
yeah.
after their hiatus or breakup, one of the most fun shows that I've ever been to, and the energy that they have for just a trio, it was just so fantastic. It's mind-blowing how great they are live. So nice. That's got to be my vote.
Awesome. And how about you, man?
That's a really tough one. Am I allowed to give you two?
Sure. You know, I ain't hammering down on you.
They're very different eras. I would say Temple of the Dog and Sunny Day Real Estate.
Amazing. Just got to see Sunny Day Real Estate.
Yeah. I did as well.
I went to the Thursday show. It was awesome.
I went to the Thursday show.
Yeah.
And it was my – I thought the more sounds great.
Incredible. Yeah, they were so good.
Sounds great.
It was
and,
awesome.
Yeah, and the Appleseed cast sounded great as well.
Yes, they did.
I was very excited to be – because I never got to see Sunny Day for their original run.
Me neither.
Sadly, I'll never see Temple of the Dog.
Yeah.
But I love both of those bands are great. So
awesome. Continuing on.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know, getting to high school early one morning, and I found a copy of Dirt upside down in the parking lot.
Ooh, nice. In the dirt?
no, asphalt. But, you know, I've worn out several copies of that, so to speak.
Yeah.
And even their newer stuff, you know, Black Gives Way to Blue is a really fantastic album.
Rainier Fog is good, too, yep.
But, awesome. You know, how heavy it is, but how melodic, like, it's hard to beat.
Absolutely. And how about you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm going to be boring and repeat, so for me it's Alice in Chains as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. I just love Jerry Cantrell's guitar work and his harmony singing as well.
Now we finally sound like a metal and alternative band. You know, a minute ago we were like, Stevie Wonder and Weird Al, man. It's like, what kind of music do these guys play sometimes when we talk to each other? It's wild.
I think, you mix some Weird Al, some Alice in Chains, some Stevie Wonder, and you get Panic Grass.
Weird Alice in Chains. How about that?
There we go. Weird Alice in Chains. I like that. That's awesome.
That's going to be the name of the next album. How about that? Weird Alice in Chains.
That's amazing. Okay. You're the radio guy, John.
Yes.
You know what time it is. You listen to the show. It's time for you to do the cheesy radio intro. I want you to go as morning zoo, cheesy, over the top, you know, sound effect, corniness. I need you to intro it. So this next song is sounds like the name of a death metal band, Acid Corpse.
Yes.
So you're going to intro it. The name of the show is Loud and Local. Name your band and the song. And, you know, however zany you want to go, I'm going to turn my mic off. Please don't take my job.
Good evening. Thank you for listening in to The Rock. We are here with Loud and Local. Panic Grass is in the studio from their debut EP, Sewage Fruit. We have Acid Corpse now.
Let's go.
Alone in the woods, I was torn by wolves. In the widow's grove where she waits to hear. Train screaming from the west now, bearing the news of a baby's death. On the horizon, the phosphorus spark lit the night like gunfire spark. Waltzing round, dancing specters, lighting the spaces, lighting the spaces, left in the traces. Of my skin in the distance, a shrieking engine cries out. Wretched headlights paint husks now. Cold orbs consume the stalks now. A scarecrow's head lifts, he straightens his shoes. A scarecrow's head lifts, he straightens his shoes. As past his field screams, pure evil in a white Oldsmobile.
Rise.
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.